This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
My father was sitting at the in front of the television watching the evening news. His little boy was down in the floor. He had his crayons and he was marking around on a piece of paper. And his father asked him, said, "Son, well, what are you doing?" He said, "Daddy, I'm drawing God's picture." "Why, son, no one knows what God looks like," he said. "They will when I get through." Well, we may not know what God looks like, but do you really believe that He exists? I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we appreciate your tuning in to watch today. And today our theme is entitled, "Why I Believe in God." Please stay tuned. Why believe in God? Is God real? Or is He just some fairy tale? On Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I want to emphasize that the course is free. I'd like for you to have it. And there are thousands, well, actually, we're hundreds of thousands by now, after all of these years of our offering Bible correspondence courses. And we'd like for you to join in that group who have increased their knowledge of the Bible through study, open study with their Bibles at home, using this course as a guide. We're going to make it available again to you today. And right now we're going to pause so that you can learn just a little bit more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is the opening sentence of the Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The word God stands like an archway at the beginning of the universe. In the beginning of light, God. In the beginning of the sea, God. In the beginning of landmass, there was God. In the beginning of man, there was God. In the beginning of the Bible, there is God. In the beginning of man, and man made in the image of God, there was God. In the beginning, God. There are some things that are sort of difficult sometimes for us to really comprehend. And we may not totally comprehend that there is a God whom we cannot see, but we can still believe in Him. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of all of them that diligently seek Him." There was an evolutionist by the name of Herbert Spencer. And Mr. Spencer believed and taught that everything that exists is composed or manifested in five different ways: time, force, matter, space, and action. And in advancing those five things, he thought that he had proved that God does not really exist. Perhaps unbeknown to him, those very five things are in the first verse of your Bible. In the beginning, there's your time. God, there's your force. Created, there's the action. The heavens, there's your space. And the earth, There is your matter. But why do we believe in God? Is there any reason that any of us should believe in the reality of God? If you were walking down the road one day, and there was a rubber ball that went bouncing past you, on down the road before you, and a little while later, there comes another ball bouncing down the road beside you. And then, just a few minutes later, here comes a third ball bouncing down the road beside you. Well, would you not reach the conclusion that there's something causing that ball to bounce down the road beside you? Maybe it's a friend trying to play a prank on you. But you see, you would reach the conclusion that that ball, those three balls, did not just do that on their own. And there was some force that caused that to happen. That's what we refer to sometimes as circumstantial evidence. And there's certain circumstantial evidence that points to the fact that there is a God in heaven. And there indeed is. In your Bible, in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, that there the psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." You know, for everything that exists in our world, there's something that caused that thing to exist. I have a watch on my wrist, and that watch did not just happen one day. There's something that caused that watch to be a reality. And now I wear it on my wrist so I can know what time of the day it is. For every effect in life, there is a cause. Someone described God as the uncaused cause. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 reads like this: "Every house has a builder. Every bird nest has a bird that made that nest. Every book has an author." There's something that caused those things to exist. And behind every effect in this world, there is something that caused everything. We exist, therefore we know something is. Something does not come from nothing. Can you, in your wildest imagination, begin to conjure up the idea that there was a time that there was nothing, not even a speck of dust? Well, something's always been. Something doesn't come from nothing. And that something that exists came from either mind or matter. Now, a birdhouse doesn't make a bird. A book doesn't make an author. It's the reverse that is true. It takes intelligence to create matter. Now, let's go back to the passage I referred to earlier, and that's Hebrews 3, verse 4. "Every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." Suppose you got in an airplane and you were flying out over the ocean, and let's just suppose that you're a very experienced pilot, and you discover an island, and you note that that island that you have found is not on the charts or any of the charts that you have with you. You've discovered something no one knows exists. So you radio back to the tower and say, "You know, I think I found an island that we've not known about before." So here is the request that comes back to you. Would you see if there's anyone living on that island? So you turn the plane around, you come over the island, And this is what you report back to them. Well, there seems to be a little cottage down there. And actually, it looks like a sidewalk going up to the front door of that cottage. And there are flowers that are seeming blooming all alongside that little sidewalk. And would you believe there looks like a garden growing out in the backyard? Now, the question that you're to answer is there anyone living there? What would you say? Well, you say, well, of course I'd tell them when someone's living there. Well, why would you say that? But because somebody had to build that house. Someone had to plant those flowers. Someone had to get out and plant that garden. It didn't just happen. You know, that's exactly what the Hebrew writer said. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. There has to be a cause for everything. And our world had a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some have suggested that our world is gradually winding down. Now, I'm not going to get into the truthfulness of that idea or not. But let's just suppose that it might be winding down just ever so gradually over the centuries. If it's winding down, my question is, who wound it up? God created everything that exists. And there, for every cause, there has to be, for every effect, there has to be a cause that's adequate to result in that effect. Let me use this as an illustration. Suppose you're out fishing one day, and I have an idea that some of you are fishermen or fisherwomen. Maybe women like to fish as well as men. Maybe, and I don't like to fish with my wife because she always catches more fish than I do. And you may have had an experience like that as well. But you're out fishing, and you're in your boat, and you're enjoying the day. It's such a beautiful day. And then out of nowhere, there comes what seems like a tiny whirlwind on the water. The water has been so still, and all of a sudden there's this whirlwind. And you actually fear for your life. Well, what would you think if I told you that it was just a little bumblebee that created that whirlwind? You say, oh, no, Brother Lambert, that couldn't happen. Why not? Well, there's no way that a bumblebee could create a whirlwind like that. You know, you're exactly right about that, because every effect has to have a cause behind it, but that cause has to be adequate to create that effect. And God is adequate to create that effect. God is the first cause. Everything that exists was created either by mind, that is intelligence, or matter. And God was the original builder. God created everything that exists. There is your intelligence. Matter does not produce anything. I've been living a few years now, and I've never seen a rock produce another rock. I've never seen a bird nest produce a bird. I've never seen an automobile produce a driver. You see, it takes intelligence to create objects like that. And the intelligence comes from God. Mind is superior to matter. And so one of the reasons I believe that God exists is because there has to be something that was the first cause of everything. It had to be intelligence. And that first intelligence is God. Another reason that I believe God exists is because of the design there is in our universe. It's not put together just in a haphazard fashion. The universe really is a cosmos. Have you ever thought about that? If we have laws, there has to be some kind of a lawgiver. If there are thoughts, there has to be a thinker. You know the difference between hen tracks and hieroglyphics. is intelligence. Now, if you were to look at my writing, you might conclude that it was hen tracks and not intelligence, because I've never been known to be the best penman. But it takes intelligence to create hieroglyphics. And so there is design in everything that is. I want you to think about the order and the design of the universe. Think about matter, for example. I remember when we would talk about matter in school, and the teacher would say there are 102 elements. Well, that's changed since I was in school. Now they say there are 118 elements, and they're composed of gas, liquid, or solid, and they're all composed of protons, neutrons, and electrons. You think that's just an accident? No. There's design in the way matter is created. Think about life. It takes intelligence to create life. Now, here's a principle that is just as true as it can possibly be. Life comes from life. Life comes from previously existing life. Now, someone says, well, now suppose men were able to create life in a test tube. Well, I'm not going to say that it will never happen. But if men were able to create a spark of life in a test tube, it would not destroy my faith in God. All it would prove to me is that it took all of the human intelligence of all of the thinkers of the world from the beginning of time up until the time that one little tiny spark of life was created. It would take all of their intelligence to create one tiny spark of life. Personally, I don't think we will ever create reproducing life in a test tube. But suppose that were true. It would take 6,000 years of human intelligence to do that. But there's a law that's called the law of biogenesis. Bio means life, and genesis really means beginning, the beginning of life. But let me tell you what some people have said, and these people are evolutionists. Here's one in 1933, an evolutionist by the name of John Sullivan said this: life never arises except from life. And then that Gaylord Simpson, who also was an evolutionist, made this statement: biogenesis is the rule that life only comes from other life. And so I believe God exists because of there's design, and there's design in the way that life is created. Also, think about our solar system. Do you realize that a 10% change in the solar system would make life impossible? Our world is the right weight to make its orbit. It's the right distance from the moon, from the sun. Do you realize that if we were farther away from the sun, we'd freeze to death? And if the sun were closer to us than the way it is, then we would burn up. You see, when God created this whole world, He created it with design. The earth is tilted on its axis just right, 23 degrees. And there's a right ratio of water to land, 3 to 1, to sustain life. And the earth is the proper size to make life possible on this earth. They think about the animal world, and think about even birds or even the fish, the instinct there is out there. Think about the salmon, for example. Don't you like to go to a restaurant and order a salmon, and it is so good when it's cooked properly? But do you know that poor old salmon is hatched, gets out in the ocean, and may travel out there thousands of miles, and he comes back to where it was hatched, where it was born, lays its eggs, and there he dies. Is that all just an accident? I think not. And you think about the eel that is hatched in Bermuda, and then he'll travel to Europe or to America. Is all of that just an accident? No, there's design there. But there's something that I read and that intrigued me. That's about the anglerfish. You've probably never seen one. I've never seen an anglerfish, but I've seen pictures of them. And likely the reason we have never seen one is because they live on the very bottom of the ocean. Now, the female anglerfish has out in front of her a little fleshly-like lobe that's called her fishing pole. And she uses that to lure in fish, and then she eats them. And that's how she survives. But now, how does the poor old male anglerfish live? Why, he attaches himself to the female anglerfish. And she feeds him intravenously, much like a mother feeds her unborn child. And about the only contribution that he makes, he's a sperm donor. And he is a parasite. He lives off the female. Now, here's a question I have for those that believe in evolution. How did that female survive until she was able to evolve, if evolution is true, to the point that she had that little fleshy lobe out in front of her to use to catch fish with? And how did that male anglerfish live until he evolved to the point that he knew to attach himself to the female anglerfish so that he could live off of her? But the truth of the matter is, they were made that way by God in the very beginning. I want you to think about your body that the psalmist said has been fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139, verse 14. In the 8th Psalm, there the psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? That thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor." God created man. And he created him with design. The body, human body, is composed of some 200 bones, 500 muscles, 1,000 ligaments. Your eye is nothing more than a little camera that's inside of your head. You have two of them there. And then to think about your brain, which is nothing more than a computer that stores all the information that you've ever learned. Think about the position of your mouth. Is it there just by accident? I think not. And your nose, right above your mouth, so that you're able to smell your food to make sure that you're not about to eat something that would contaminate you. And so think about that. Think about your ears, one on each side of your head. And you can hear in stereo, can't you? Just think about how God made the human body. To me, it's such a marvel. Think about the balance there is in nature. Man breathes in oxygen, breathes out carbon dioxide. The plants breathe in carbon dioxide, and they breathe out oxygen. You see the balance there is even in nature. Is all of that an accident? Absolutely not. Think about the cellular system in the human body. Think about DNA in the human body. I read this in some place that in the human body that there is enough DNA that if you were to, in one human body, just in one body now, if you were to stretch it out in a single line, the DNA in one body would be 5.69 billion miles long. And yet the DNA is different in every human being. Someone says, "Well, I just don't know about all of this." Can you explain all of the design there is in our universe without God? God is a great designer of everything. God made it all. It didn't just happen. A man was trying to teach his son that God is real. He asked the boy to go out into the yard, into the garden, and plant some seeds in the ground in a furrow that he had gone ahead and pre-prepared for the boy. Time went by, and a few days later, the little boy came running into the house. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, God's growing in the garden. God's growing in the garden." And he went out, and sure enough, there was the name God in the garden. You see, the little furrow that the father had created for the son to plant those seeds in spelled out the name God. And when the plants came up, there was the name of God in the garden. In the beginning, God. Man demands a maker. Think about the moral argument for the existence of God. If there's such a thing as morality, then there's got to be a moral governor. Who is that? A man by the name of A.E. Taylor said, "Men may differ where the line is drawn between right and wrong, but they all agree there is a line to be drawn." Where did that come from? God is a great moral governor of the universe. And there's the religious argument for the existence of God. Man is not born as an unbeliever in God. Man is incurably religious. Romans, the first chapter, says in verse 20, "But for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." There's absolutely no excuse for a man not believing in God. Dr. James Orr said, "There are no savage tribes found who do not seem to have a higher idea of God along with their superstitions. I believe that all men everywhere have believed in God. If you believe in God, would you give your life to him today? Become a child of his. Believe on his son with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins and be willing to acknowledge your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a penitent, confessing believer in Christ, let some servant of God baptize you into Christ, because Jesus said, 'He who believes and is baptized shall be saved.' I want to thank you for watching today. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer."
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.